This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, I've got a lot to tell you this morning, and I'm just my mind's going 100 miles an hour. So I'm really praying, God, that you really do order my thoughts, because it could. If I'm not making sense, you need to look at me a little like I'm making sense. Okay. Okay, where do I start? All right, first up, very recently, I actually really wanted to share a nice Christmas message this morning. I was even watching TV this morning. I'm watching Joseph Prince, I think it was, and he was talking about, I can't remember even, there was another guy talking about the shepherds and the angels. And I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea. And then God said, no, that's not what I want you to talk about. So you're going to get the hardcore one this morning, all right? But I'm looking around. Yeah, you're all grown-ups in the house, and I think you can handle it. Okay. Very recently, I got to spend some time I was in a situation that I'm not used to being in, I guess, is why I'm hesitating to share this with you, because I was really uncomfortable in this position. And I got to spend some time with someone who was really struggling in life. Now, we've all spent time with people who struggle in life, but this was really struggling. This was real brokenness. This was real evident pain. You have to forgive me this morning. You forgive me a lot, so that's okay. It was really evident. This person was really manifesting hurt and was quite vocal about their hurt and lashing out at people around them. And I'm not used to that happening to me. I'm not used to that. I like everybody to like me and to be happy around me. I mean, I'm used to people being upset, but this was more than that. This was a real brokenness. And I remember at one stage saying to Charlie, we were alone and we were talking about it, and I said to Charlie, this isn't us. What's going on around us is not us. I'm not used to that. This isn't how people behave to life. This isn't how people respond to life. And this isn't us. This isn't what we do. And then a little while after that, I was at home, and lo and behold, the same sort of thing happened in my very own household. In my close family circle, there's been some hurt and some misunderstanding. And you know, when people are hurt and misunderstood, and what do they do generally, especially if they're not in relationship with God? They say hurtful things to each other and they lash out. And I thought, this was getting pretty intense. And I'm talking to God. I'm saying, what is going on? Has the whole world lost its mind except for me? That's what it felt like. The whole world around me that is near and dear to me has gone off on some little Twilight Zone trip. And it was bizarre to me. I couldn't grasp it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was so far removed from anything I'd ever experienced before. And then God led me to this verse, and it's in Ezekiel 22, verse... Actually, let's have a look. I might read some of it. Ezekiel 22. And the verse I really want to look at is verse 30, but maybe we'll start at verse 23. So Ezekiel 22, and I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. Okay, again a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, give the people of Israel this message. In the day of my indignation, you will be like a polluted land, a land without rain. Your princes plot conspiracies just as lions stalk their prey. They devour innocent people seeking treasures and extorting wealth. They make many widows in the land. Your priests have violated my instructions and defiled my holy things. They make no distinction between what is holy and what is not. They do not teach my people the difference between what is ceremonially clean and unclean. They disregard my Sabbath day so that I am dishonored among them. Your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. They actually destroy people's lives for money. And your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. They say, my message is from the sovereign Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken a single word to them. Even common people oppress the poor, rob the needy, and deprive foreigners of justice. And this is the verse that God spoke to me. I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. That broke my heart, because what God said to me was, all this crazy stuff you see going on around you, he said, you've dropped the ball, Karen. It's not that it was my responsibility to fix any of those things, and none of those things that happened were even my doing. But where I dropped the ball, I'd gotten lax and neglected my responsibility of standing in the gap. The Bible tells us here there is actually a wall of righteousness that protects the land. You and I are that wall of righteousness. That's how I look at it. We sang this morning, my anchor holds within the veil. You are Lord of all. When I look around, I see people that are saved, born again, walking with the Lord, know the Lord, walking in victory. We are the wall of righteousness. And it's our responsibility where there's a gap in the wall. So where my brother should be standing next to me or my sister should be standing next to me, but they're not in relationship with God yet. They haven't taken up their place in that wall of righteousness that protects the land. There's a gap. And it's our responsibility to fill that gap until such a time as they can stand up in that place themselves. Does that make sense? And so I had neglected my responsibility of standing in the gap for those people that couldn't do it for themselves. I actually wanted to get some volunteers this morning, but the kids are all busy, so we're not going to do it. I just wanted to get them up and try and get them to break through a wall of people, because, you know, when there's a gap in the wall, things can come and go pretty easy in and out of that gap when there's nothing to stop it. The ultimate goal, and Konya said it beautifully this morning, is to see people saved, to see them restored to a place where there is no gap in the wall of righteousness. Until that, we have that responsibility. There is a wall of righteousness that guards our land. And God says, I searched for such a person. It's not God's desire for the land or the people in that land to be destroyed. He is actively looking for someone to stand in the gap. He's searching. He doesn't want that loneliness, hopelessness, helplessness. And I'm talking about government as well. So we have a responsibility to stand in that gap corporately as a church. It's not up to the government to change what's going on in our country. It's up to you and me. It's up to the church. And standing in the gap doesn't just mean praying for people. We're going to talk more. I'm jumping all over the place. But I think you're following me. It's not just praying for people. That is so important. It's a two-pronged thing. Standing in the gap of righteousness is praying for people, interceding for them. It's also displaying righteousness. It's exampling righteousness to people. Honestly, some of the things I've seen in recent times, things that we thought were common sense to people, is not so common. You know, I was astounded by some thought processes and the way people think and the things that they considered important or life-changing to me was astounding, because they're not looking at it from a kingdom perspective the way you and do it. And but for the grace of God go you and I. That was one thing that hit me during this time. But for the grace of God, if I didn't have God in my life, I would be in exactly that same spot, relying on everything else to fix my problem, to fill that need, to fill that loneliness, that hurt, that gap, to be justified. So it's about displaying righteousness. Have you dropped your guard over the land? If you are the only righteous person in your family, say there is just you, where you work or in your family, think about Christmas. Think about, you're going to have time with your family over Christmas. Say you are the only righteous one. If you're not standing in the gap, what happens to them? If you're not displaying righteousness, how will they ever see it? Sorry, if I smile while I'm saying all these things, you might think it's okay. It's a good thing. Where this isn't beat you over the head and you better get your act together and all of those things. This is just, we need to talk like this in church. You've heard message after message after message about the goodness of God and his needs. You can get, every single one of you could get up here and give me a testimony of the goodness of God in your life and how he provides for you and how you're redeemed and saved. You could all do that. You don't need me to do that. You need me to get up here and tell you, come on, come on. You know, it was surprised me. I was uncomfortable in the position I was in. I don't like being uncomfortable, but God knows I needed you. We better get uncomfortable. It's not good enough. It's not good enough to me that there are people out there, not even that far away from me, that are hurting and that are going to hell. They are not, they don't have a hope at the moment that they know of that holds within the veil. Their hope is built on how much food they're going to have at Christmas, how much money they've got in the bank. Their hope is built on their house, on their relationship. They're looking for their husbands to make them happy. They're looking for their wives, their children, their job, their boss, their things to make them happy. Their anchor, they haven't realized, is actually within the veil. You and I have got that. This is a good thing. Look how many people are in this building. Look how many lives can be touched because of us. And I'm, you know, when I was thinking about these problems that I got to have a look into someone's life, I thought, God, well, I can't even comprehend it, let alone fix it. And he said to me, I want you to fix it, because that's not your job. Keep your hands off it, actually, because you'll just make it worse. Just stay right out of it. Zip your lip. Pray. Stand in the gap. And live your life the way I intended you to live your life. Example the righteousness. Be the wall that protects the land. You know, reading through that passage and Ezekiel in there is talking about, you know, he's talking about, in the bit that I read out, he's actually talking about the leaders in the church. He's talking about the priests that were leading the people astray. In the chapters before that, he's talking to the people, and there's lots of things that were going on. Murderers, idols, parents were treated with contempt. Orphans and widows were treated poorly. The Sabbath was violated. There were false accusations. There was unrestrained sex. There was extortion. Doesn't sound any different to today. Doesn't sound any different to today. And we sit in the house and we say, oh my goodness, that's terrible. God, do something. God, do something. The world's falling to pieces. There are people out there hurting. God, won't you do something? And he says, I am. I'm searching. I'm searching. My eyes are going to and fro over the whole world looking for someone who I can act strong on their behalf. I am doing something. I'm searching. I'm doing something. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you to stand up. I'm looking for you to speak up. I'm looking for you to pray up. That's what I'm doing. I had a look over that verse again, and there was one word in there that changed the whole verse for me. You know, we give the enemy a lot of credit, don't we? The devil made me do it. The devil did it. It's the devil. I'm being attacked. The devil is. The only reason he's here is to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job description. He does it well, and I don't know why we get surprised when he does that. Why do we get surprised? Oh, yes, that's his job. But this verse actually says, I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy it. God is a just God. He can't go against his word. He exalts his word even higher than his own name. God is looking for someone to stand in the gap so that he doesn't have to bring the judgment on the earth that we deserve. And that's our responsibility. Standards have dropped. Yes, standards have dropped. Although even though we're talking probably nothing's new under the sun, really, it's all the same stuff, another day, same stuff. That's not quite how the saying goes, but you get my meaning. The same stuff, standards have dropped, and we sit in the house often, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. We should be in the house, and we should have time of celebration. One thing that happened to me while I was away, I spent a lot of time in a deck chair. It was really good. But, gee, my backside got numb. My backside sometimes got so numb, I had to get up and walk around. If your backside is numb from sitting in this house, get up and get out. We do. We get numb. We get numb. Because we sit in the house, we are so fat on the word. We are so fat, we are so full, and we get numb because we haven't got up and got out and done what we're supposed to do. Exercise, June. Abraham was able to stand in the gap because he was a friend of God. In Genesis 18, verses 16 to 19, it's where God visits Abraham and says, he actually says, let me read it to you. This is from the New King James. He says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? So God's saying, why would I hide this from Abraham? I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do because he's my friend, is what he's saying. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Abraham was able to stand in the gap because he was a friend of God. And God could trust him because he was one that would command his children and his household, and they would keep the way of the Lord, and they would do righteousness and justice. They would display the very character of God. He would be a wall of righteousness that would protect the people. As a church, we need to do more than pray in the house for the government. That's very important. It's very important that we pray for our government. The Bible tells us that we should do it. But we should also actively have a voice. You know, there's lots of resources. There is no excuse for us in our generation, in our world, not to have information. We know what's going on. When there's important votes going on in our government, we should have a say in that. You can have a voice, and it's not that hard. It's a letter or I'm not saying you've got to go out and protest, and I'm not trying to incite any sort of revolution, but what I'm saying is have a voice. Don't just sit in our homes or in the church and say, oh my goodness, the world's falling to pieces and God, do something. Well, we do something. You want it to be different, do something about it. Let me tell you this story. One night during the Civil War, an officer complained to General Stonewall Jackson that some soldiers were making a noise in their tent. What are they doing? Asked the general. They are praying now, but they have been singing, was the reply. And is that a crime? The general demanded. Well, the articles of war say that the articles of war orders punish, there is punishment, sorry, for an unusual noise, was the reply. And General Jackson said, God forbid that praying should be an unusual noise in the camp. So praying is important, and God forbid that praying would ever, for our government, would ever, and leaders worldwide, that it would ever be an unusual noise in this camp. We're to stand in the gap individually for whom and who? Our husbands, our wives, our children, our extended family. Sidlow Baxter, who was a pastor and a theologian, said this: men may spurn our appeals, they can reject our message, they can oppose our argument, but they are helpless against our prayers. People can argue with you, and a lot of the time, and the Bible actually tells us that we need to be really careful about entering into arguments. And, you know, I was talking with someone not so long ago and trying to have what I thought was a logical conversation. They just didn't get it. Or maybe I didn't get them. I don't know. But we weren't getting it. There was something something was missing in the translation. And I truly believe it was kingdom speaking and worldly speaking were just not gelling together. What's the point of me standing and arguing with that person? It's just going to make them hate me and never listen to anything I have to say again, not even watch what I'm doing, let alone hear what I'm saying. But they can't have any say over what I do in my prayer closet. They have no say how many hours I spend on my knees for them, praying for them. Thank God that my mother prayed for me. I've said this before. You've heard this story before. I wouldn't listen to my mother or my father. That my mum could have told me anything. I would have done the opposite of what mum told me when I was away from God. What would have been? But I had no say over how often she prayed for me or what she prayed for me. And thank God she did. Thank God she stood in the gap for me when I wasn't in my place. The word stand means to abide, to continue, to dwell, to be employed, endure and establish. So the Bible actually talks a lot about standing. Standing. Put on all of God's armor. Why? So that you'll be able to stand. That's why you need the armor, so that you can stand firm. That's why there's a battle going on. We've got to stand firm. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. And we need to remember that. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, what will you be doing? Standing. After the battle, you will be standing firm, and then you will stand, and you'll stand your ground, it says. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in all of your prayers for all believers everywhere. What are you going to do? Stand. And then when you've done all, you're going to stand some more. It's our job. It's our responsibility. And guess what? After you've heard something, you can't unhear it. Ha, ha. Okay, I was looking at Nehemiah because there's another, you know, there's lots of places in the Bible where God talks about building up walls and Nehemiah is another place. In Nehemiah verses 7 to 9 in particular. Let's read that actually. Nehemiah 4, 7 to 9. If I can find it. Nehemiah chapter 4. Not chapter 79. Sorry, I'll speak a bit slower. If I could find it, there it is. Nehemiah 4. Okay. So, verse 7 we'll start. It says, but when I should have practiced these names. Why don't I do that? Can you remind me next time? I've got to practice the names before I get up here. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs, Ammonites and Ashdodites heard that the work was going on ahead and that the gaps in the wall of Jerusalem were being repaired, they were furious. They all made plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night. Guess what's going to happen? When you start standing, the enemy is going to hear what's going on and that the gaps in the wall are being repaired, and he will be furious because he doesn't know how to be happy. And he will make plans to come against you and fight against you and throw you into confusion. But it says, nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God and set our watch against them day and night. We need to be ready. That's all that needs to happen. Don't be surprised when the enemy attacks you. Don't come to me crying and say, oh, you didn't tell me that was going to happen. I'm telling you it's going to happen. You be prepared. You put on the armor, and guess what you're going to do then? Stand. Be ready for an attack. Are you prepared to stand in the gap? How much do you want to see God at work in the midst of our community, our country, our families? It's not up to me. It's not up to David. It's not up to how good the worship is in church. It's not up to the people that come together on a Tuesday night to pray here. It's not up to the people that come early to church to pray. All those things are good. All those things are important. But guess who it's up to? You. It's your family. It's your family. I've got enough family stuff of my own. You pray for your family. You pray for your friends. Yes, it's good to stand in agreement, and we should do that, but God has planted you in your family, in this place, in this house, right at the right time. It's not a mistake. There's not too much stuff going on. Everybody has gone a little bit cray-cray. They have gone a little bit crazy out there. Have you been to Knox City this week? Don't even talk about Fountain Gate. It's not good. Everyone, do you know why they've gone crazy? Because they don't have an anchor. They don't have an anchor. So they're getting tossed about all over the place, and it's not good enough. I've had enough. I said to my girls this year, you will like each other. You will like Christmas, and we will have a good time. Not quite. That's what I wanted to say. But you know what I say? I love you. I love you. And I have to look at it and think, you can't help it. Do you know what? They're behaving and the world is behaving exactly as they're supposed to. They're lost. They're hurt. They're confused. They're in turmoil. And you know what? They might put on a brave face, but let me tell you, it's just about this far below the surface. You just scratch them a little bit, and I know I've talked to people this week, and all of you could get up and tell me a story about someone you know. The prayers that we prayed this morning, it's just about that far below the surface, and sometimes you don't even have to scratch very hard at all, and boy, you'll find out what's there. And you know what? I don't like that. I like it better being here with you guys. I like it better being around. And that's what I felt like. That's what I said to Charlie when I was having that conversation about this isn't what we do. I was missing you guys. I was like, that's where I want to be, where everybody loves God and loves me and we're all happy and we're all thinking clearly and straight. Well, too bad. Too bad. That's good for me and that's good for you. And that's like Peter saying, this is a great place. Let's build a house for us here and we'll just all stay here and we'll all be happy and have a great time. And that's true, but that's not good enough. That's not why Jesus came. That's not why on Wednesday we will get together and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not what it's about. Well, it is what it's about because he came to give us that. But it's not enough that just we have it. He said to them, no, we're going back down off the mountain and we're going down there where they are. And you better get used to uncomfortable and you better get used, we as a church better get used to uncomfortable. We better get used to just sort of scratching the surface and hearing what it's really all about. And then not reacting like, well, let's all run back to our church and run back to our safe place and be happy. We need a safe place. I needed a safe place. I needed Charlie to put his arms around me and say, it's okay. And he did. And I needed God to say, it's okay. You've got me. But they haven't. So this Christmas, when you're spending time with your family, I want you to get uncomfortable. How many times do you not ask somebody how they are because you know what they're going to tell you? I do that all the time. Or how, you know, so this time when you're spending time with your family, just listen to them. You probably won't even have to ask them any questions. Trust me, they'll probably tell you anyway, won't they? But don't just dismiss that and then say, oh, well, I hope one day they find God. They really need God. That's what I was saying, Joe. They really need God. Boy, yes, they do. And how are they going to meet him? Through us. Let's stand together. I think I've yelled at you enough this morning. Oh, Father God, Father, our Father, who art in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, where we have been so caught up in ourselves. Lord, we get so caught up in ourselves. We do. I do, Lord God. We're so busy. We've got so many things to do. We've got lunches to prepare and presents to buy and work parties to go and all sorts of things. And yes, they're all good, Lord God. You gave us life that we're supposed to enjoy it. But let us never forget. Let us never forget what it's really all about, Lord God. Why, Jesus, you even came. You came that we would have life and have it abundantly. All of mankind, not just a select few. It's not just for us to keep. So, Holy Spirit, I pray over this Christmas time as we do celebrate and as we do have fun and relax and enjoy each other's company and enjoy people. Holy Spirit, I ask that our spiritual eyes would always be open, that they would always be open, that our hearts would always be soft, and that we, Lord, in this house, there would be no gap in the wall of righteousness. That in our homes, Lord God, in my house, in every house that's represented in this building today, Lord God, that where there's a gap in the wall of righteousness and you're searching, that you would look and you would see us. Lord, look at me. Look at me, Lord God. I want to stand up and be one who you can trust to tell what's going on, what your plan is, what your purpose is, and then, Lord, to be able to intercede, to come to your very throne room with those things, Lord God, and to be able to example righteousness to this world. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us to enable us. We don't have to do it on our own. We could never do it on our own. And actually, Holy Spirit, I ask that you remind us to not even try. that we're not to try and fix it, try to do it on our own. We are to be an example of your righteousness. We just thank you for your love for us, God. We thank you for where you've planted us. We thank you for our families, our homes. We thank you for this country, Lord God. We thank you that we do have a voice, that we can have a say, that we can be vocal about the kingdom of God. And I pray for a fresh boldness to come over us. And Lord, that we truly, because we haven't got it yet, we haven't got your heart yet, Lord God, for the lost. I haven't got your heart yet, Lord God, but I want your heart, Lord God. I want your heart for the lost. And I pray that each one of us, that would be the desire in our lives, Lord God. So be glorified in our lives and in this place, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombolt Christian Fellowship.